11 o'clock.
Calories on the floor, 15 to 20 million.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. Serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, people can tune in from anywhere in the USA simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And as you know, each and every week we send out a rebroadcast of the show, and we ask that you send it to family members and friends to bring them into our family of listeners, our family of supporters, because it's really the American people that are doing their best to make sure that American-made products are get into bigger circulation. If you got our email this morning, send it out to a family member or friend also, and invite them to tune in. Now, I'd like to compliment our weekly panel members, who include Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, who is not going to be with us today. But we do have Larkin Connolly, National Small Business Advocate, and Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology. We're here with our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, and Curtis Ellis is on the road today, but just spoke to him, and he offers his best wishes to everyone. And of course, there's a lot of things going on today, but we'll talk about that as the program goes forward. But I'd like to bring attention to one very important link on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and that is November, American Made Month. 5 years ago, when we started this program, none of us thought that it would be getting the PR that it does. And I want to say thank you to our station, who plays the promo for American Made Month on the station throughout the day, and to the other people, Dennis Ostapovich, all the guys in the networks and different places that pick up my weekly commentary and play it during their public service time. Every person that hears the message hears something positive about what is happening here in the USA. When you can take a click on that link, November American Made Month, and it has a whole list of suggestions on ways to help. And the poster there on the front page, you can also share that with family members and friends. That was presented by our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I can't tell you enough how we all work together to make this show move forward and have a message. As I said a few times during my Saturday broadcast, it was back in 1999 that I first brought up the subject about we have to start looking at labels and looking out for our local stores, because we're going to lose our shirt. And as time went on, people started to look at it and started to think about it. And boy, it started to come true. And when their sons and daughters, brothers and sisters and neighbors lost their employment opportunities, they thought to themselves, wow, we got to do something about it. So we do have tens of millions of supporters that really go out of their way to help us make events like November as American Made Month and the Buy American Made campaign, and also National Small Business Weekend, which is always the first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of the month. And as we continue this month of promoting American Made, I want to say a special thank you to all of you who have been our positive army. This is a little army that we've come up with in order to get that message out. And we're fighting against all the negativity that we hear in the news. And from what I see, Americans are really concerned, mainly with how they're going to make a living, not look for government to be their God or their supporter. And that's the bottom line. I also see a lot of people not concerned about politics. the way they should be, but they're also not concerned about seeing all the bickering that's going on in Washington, because those people are taking our time, using our money to do whatever they want to do, and they, in the end, are doing nothing but putting us in debt, giving bad example to our children, and they're going to wind up suffering for the sins of the people not paying attention to the well-being of the people here in the USA. When people say to me, well, don't criticize the foreign countries that much, I'm not criticizing them. I'm only saying that they went out of their way to do good work, to get jobs, to bring industries. They send the right salespeople over to America to attract America's businesses to their country, telling them they're going to have less employee problems, they're going to have less costs, don't worry about this, don't worry about that. The product will be shipped to you, it'll be placed on your doorstep, and you'll be able to sell it as though it was made here in the USA. And boy, has that been the way it has been for a long, long time. So we're working, doing our best, and thanks to people, some people in Washington, we are seeing a lot of good change. And now I see also that more and more Americans are concerned about America. They're not worried about the label Democrat, Republican, Independent. They want elected people to do their job and look out for you and I, our children, our grandchildren, and our communities. And with that, I would like to welcome Larkin Conley. Larkin, how are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Michael. How are you?
Great. I'm doing wonderful. In good voice today. A lot of things are happening, and maybe we'll be talking about it as time goes on today. But are you watching something in addition to being on the radio today?
Yeah, I do have it on. And I did listen to the first two witnesses, and I just hope they get it over with in record time. It's easy to take sides on this thing, but if the Dems want to impeach a president, which is a really serious move in this country. I mean, replacing any leader in any country is a serious move, but replacing a democratically elected president is pretty pretty strong statement. I will say this, though, because I want to remind everybody once in a while when I hit a good note that I have, in fact, hit a good note. I said probably a month or two ago that for everybody to get prepared for Hillary Clinton to run for president again. And it's going to happen. She is going to become a Democratic nominee. Take it to the. I'm going to give you the old Nancy Pelosi. Take it to the bank. You can take that to the bank. I absolutely guarantee it. Of course, the last thing she guaranteed ended up blowing up in her face. But I think the trial balloons have gone up. I saw three of them this morning making such a suggestion, and I'm sure there are political operatives all over the country reading the tea leaves as Americans respond to such a suggestion. But and I think it also was done while the impeachment proceedings are advanced because that gives Hillary a little bit of a better light. But you know, when I get confronted by Democrats who are just beside themselves with Donald Trump as the president, I say, listen, stop for a second. You lost to Donald Trump. You ran a full-blown campaign with the first woman who was probably infinitely qualified as Secretary of State and Senator and First Lady and all the experiences she brought to the table. You lost to Donald Trump. And you got to get over it.
Larkin, you are right. You know, I listened to you hear, say that. You know what I would have done if I was the Democrats? And I don't like to play the Democrat-Republican side. I would have said, okay, Mr. Trump is our president. During the next 4 years, we are going to try to show people what we can do to make America even better. This entire effort with the Mueller investigation and all, to me, it reminds me of the boy who cried wolf over and over again. And then after people didn't see the wolf during the Mueller investigation, they said, well, we have to do something different. And it came up to another thing. And I don't think that this is going to happen in the way they're looking for, because bear in mind that the Congress approves budgets and all sorts of grants that go as aid to foreign countries. But it's only the president that is responsible for setting the policy of foreign policy. And it's also the president, the executive branch, that has to ensure that our grants to foreign countries are used properly because they represent the taxpayer dollars. Now, if he made some suggestion, and I'm sure that many presidents before him have made some suggestions, like, Larkin, I'm going to give you a dollar, but I want to know where you gave 99 cents out of that dollar. You maybe have a little discretion on a penny, but the rest of the money, and this is something that's not being properly discussed. The Congress listens to the hearings, they listen to the request, and quite frankly, I would like to see the proposal for the Ukraine or any other country getting their annual appropriation from America. Where is that proposal exactly? What is it supposed to be used for? And quite frankly, this brings up a point that I would like to see addressed. I'd like to see what was used when what was done with that money when the Ukrainians got it through that grant that was given by the American taxpayers through the United States Congress and then approved by the president, and the money was given. I'd like to see a report. Every grant, as you know, Larkin, you've been in this system a long time, you know that at the end of every grant, you have to make a report. Otherwise, you're not eligible for the next grant. Are we getting those reports? Who is getting the reports? Who is getting the proposals? I'd like to see all that. It's the duty of a president, a vice president, whoever is supposed to be focusing on looking at how the dollars are spent. Otherwise, they're robbing the United States taxpayer, putting us in debt. Look at how our debt is going up, mainly because the interest rate has increased so viciously in the last 15 years. The interest on that debt alone is horrifying. But the president has the duty. If it's me getting a grant, I have to qualify every inch of the grant. I have to ask questions, and I have to expect questions to be asked of me. And sometimes they will say, okay, give me the justification for that. And I have to give the justification. If the president asked the president of the Ukraine a question, justify whatever it was, I'd like to know exactly what the question was it justified, and how the money is being used. I'm going to turn now for a minute to Rich Loges. What did you think of my small analogy there?
Well, good morning, Michael and Larkin, and to Henry and our listeners. We thank you week in and week out for, I hope, what turns out to be a show where you hear, I'm very fond, Michael, of saying that on my show and my events, what I write, we tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. Your husband and wife will tell you what you want to hear. We ain't your husband and your wife. We're here to continue advancing in what I see as a positive direction that the country is going in. And there's two points, Michael, I'd like to make. First, a follow-up to Larkin. I'd have to find the broadcast, Michael, but in 2017, I came on this show and I said at the time, I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's probably not going to happen. It's not likely. But a 2016 encore wasn't as unlikely as everybody thought, Michael. It was, and that was in 2017. Now people ask me, Rich, why did you say that? Why do you think that? And I said, well, because there are only two reasons a serial killer ever stops killing: dies or gets caught. So it wasn't, in my mind, it wasn't even that out of this. It wasn't out of the realm of the possibility that it could happen. And Larkin, we are going to know. The country is going to know by December 2nd if, in fact, Hillary Clinton's going to make another run. And the reason we're going to know by December 2nd is because that is the filing deadline, Michael, for the state of Illinois to participate in the Democratic Party's primary there. So in the month of December, the filing deadlines are in Illinois, California, Texas, Ohio, and North Carolina. What do all of those states have in common? They're either guaranteed Democrat states or they're purple states. And speaking of purple states, I want to get to my second point, Michael. And I want to say that our audio engineer, Henry, who does a great job every week, my public service announcement, as a swing voter in a swing state, we're going to earn his vote because we need him on our side. And I think he's going to love what I'm about to mention, Michael, if I could spend a moment. I published an article yesterday about DACA, which was heard at the Supreme Court. And the proposal that I put together is one where everybody wins a little and everybody loses a little. And I think Henry, our swing voter in a swing state, we're going to earn his vote for next year. I think he's actually going to love this concept, because what I said, Michael, in my article, it's on my site. People can get to it through our American Workers Radio site. What I said is that I made a case that we give selective, qualified amnesty to some illegal aliens with conditions. We know who they are. We start with the green card holders who are now illegal. They can't have any crime whatsoever. Pay fines, pay restitution. We know who they are, Larkin. We can verify who they are, and we get them on the books working. And in 10 years, we talk citizenship. That's what we're going to give, Michael. The children, no problem. That's what we're giving. Rich, that's a lot to give. I agree. I'm not even that crazy about it, Michael. But sometimes in the adult world, you got to do some things you don't want to do. That's what we give. But what do we get? And this is where I think Henry's going to love it, because everyone loses and everyone wins. What are we going to get? Well, what we're going to get in exchange for that, we're going to say bye-bye to chain migration, because your 47th cousin's half-black gay stepsister don't need to be here just because you're here. We could keep the visas in place for immediate family. So when Babcia wants to come from Poland, no problem. She comes right in. So we go bye-bye to chain migration. We only count citizens on our census. We get rid of the diversity lottery because one's race and gender aren't skills and achievements. Being from Sierra Leone isn't a skill or a qualification. And then we end birthright citizenship. We do away with this, that if you're born to someone who's here illegally, you do not get automatic guaranteed citizenship. And last but not least, Michael, and if I haven't sold you guys out there yet on it, I think I've got one last enticement. I think I can get you on board. One more item we get, Michael. Build that wall, Mr. President. Build it. There's 1,300 miles right now without a wall. About 250 of them, we don't need it because of natural terrain. So we need about 1,000 miles of that wall. Build that wall. And for the Democrats listening out there, you better get on board with this deal, because the Supreme Court is going to rule against you when they release their DACA ruling in June, Michael. Well, the Democrats have literally zero leverage. It is time to remedy the problem of illegal immigration. It is a bipartisan problem, which goes to show you that just because something's bipartisan don't make it great. It just means both sides were dipsticks and were wrong, as opposed to just one side. The American people want this issue resolved. I believe that immigration was the singularly was the number one policy reason that Trump got elected. Most people don't vote on policy, Michael, but the number one policy reason in the campaign had to do with illegal immigration. It is time for both sides, who are both screwed up in this issue, to get together and say, I'm going to give up what I don't want to give, but I'm going to get what I want. And if the Dems really cared about Michael, if they really cared about who's here, they really care about the children, they would leap at this deal. But they won't. So if they don't make a deal by the time the Supreme Court has its ruling in June, bye-bye DACA, Michael. And all the people in this country who are mad can go and thank their local Democrat representatives, because I guarantee you the president would take this deal that I put together for you.
Without, Rich, I can't agree with you more. Those you offered some very good deals. I just would like to add something to that. You know, Ellis Island was opened and we had a port of entry here on the Delaware Washington Avenue. We had one in Baltimore, another in Boston. In 59 years, we had a total of, when they began the count, the Ellis Island all was open much longer than that, but in, say, 60 years, 20 million people came to this country. Most of them were invited to come here during the Industrial Revolution. 60 years that took. In the last 20 years, 20 million people, they were legal people who came through Ellis Island. And if you were sick, you had to be quarantined till you got better. If you go to Ellis Island, you'll see the name Blihush on the wall because they came through there too. But you will also see the fact that 20 million people came through Ellis Island. In America, in the last 30 years, over 20 million people came to this country illegally. No records of them. No records. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And that is why all this is going on. The DACA people, I agree, they deserve. Remember we were talking, you're right, in about 2017, I said, everybody on the table, nobody under the table. Let's get America back to where it should be. Let's be honest with each other.
May I follow up with a point before we go to Larkin? And again, let me say, I'm not even that crazy about some of what I proposed. I'm not. And I'm not saying blanket amnesty, to be very clear about this. My personal opinion, and I'm speaking, okay, personally here, anyone who has ever entered the United States illegally should never have a chance to become a citizen, ever. That's my political, my personal opinion. My political opinion, however, is that in qualified cases, we can make it work. So those who are here on green cards. So the Democrats, so have you guys, oh, by the way, Larkin, have you noticed it's been 11 million illegals for like 8,000 years? Yeah. No one actually believes that, right? Like none of these people actually believe that. There aren't 11 million. There are probably 20 to 30 million illegals.
Easy.
Which would mean that 20 to 30% of those people, based on the Democrats' own numbers, 20 to 30% of the 20 million are green card holders who are now here illegally. Call it 5, 6, 7 million people. Let's get them to the front. You want to stay? Let's get to the front of the line. You got 6 months to get your stuff in order. If it ain't, we're going to stick you in a chopper. We're going to drop you over the country you came from. Hopefully you land in the water.
Well, look, Rich, the census is coming up in a very short period of time. Next year, early next year, we begin the census, and you will have a few ways to answer the census. Number one, you'll be able to do it this time online. And secondly, if needed, they'll send it to you in the mail. And if they can't get your return, they will send someone to your house to get that information from you because they're trying to do it. The big thing that we've seen in the last census was many people did not want to answer many questions or just simply didn't answer the door, no matter how many times the census taker rang the doorbell.
Easy solution for that, Michael. And I just proposed it. Only citizens are counted in our census, period. period, end of discussion.
Well, I see your point, and it's very true. I went to a conference last Thursday morning, and the census issue came up. It was our it's getting colder outside conference. You know, the social workers get together and talk about how we're going to help people. And the census issue came up. And, of course, they're looking for people to help and partnership and all this with. But the main thing is everybody is worried about people not wanting to open the door, which means that they would not be counted in the census. And I agree with you. Only citizens and green card holders should be counted. And what you said also was brought up. Many of the people that came here on the chain migration are still not listed on the census. Many of them come and they just go into the darkness of the day and night, and they're not seen until they need some sort of government help. Then they all of a sudden are able to show that they were brought here legally through chain migration. All these issues have to be addressed. This is what the Congress should have been doing since the last census, not playing games. What they tried to do is put it into a little committee's hands, and in the last year just started to hear what was going to be on the census.
See, Michael, you said it, though, you said it. See, we know what the problem is, Larkin. We regurgitate the problem ad nauseum, ad infinitum. We know it's been a bipartisan problem. Bipartisan! Bipartisanship is just a gateway drug to tyranny. Okay, so it means both sides were wrong. Great. So instead of one side being wrong, both were wrong. Well, somehow that makes it better. We know the issue. But to intelligently remedy this problem, and it is a problem. It is an economic problem. It's a national security problem. It's a borders problem. It's a sovereignty problem. It's a constitution problem. It's freaking problem after problem. It's going to require everybody to have to give up a little bit that they don't want to give up, Michael. But if we can make America grown up again on immigration, we could get this thing resolved. And everybody's going to win, and everybody's going to lose. And let me tell you something. You're going to be able to count on one hand in your life to ever hear Logis say everybody's going to win and everybody's going to lose.
I agree with that, Richard.
Because generally that is not a way to get anything done. However, sometimes there are exceptions to rules, Michael. And I'm telling you what I put together here, a lot of people aren't going to like it. Actually, probably everybody who signs off is going to dislike parts of it. But guess what? We're going to get this problem, starting to get it under control. And it is a problem, Michael. I was with people last night who work in organizations whose children were killed by illegal aliens.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they really want? You think they're anti-immigrant? That's a Democrat media industrial complex conspiracy theory, Michael. That's why I say to everybody, they don't report news. There's not a singular new bit of information on impeachment in 6 months. Not one scintilla of news. It's just the narrative. The people I was with last night, Michael, they're not anti-immigrant. Some of them are immigrants themselves. But they see that there's a problem. And I asked them about my deal. I said, you probably don't like parts of it, right? They said, no. I said, but I bet you like parts of it. They said, yeah. Well, guess what? Some are going to win. Some are going to lose. But we're going to get this thing under control. The president would go for what I have, Michael. I have no doubt about it. And someone
I think it
has access to the White House, and I gave it to him, and I said, please put this in the president's hands.
Rich, as I listen to you, I mean, I agree with 98% of what you had to say, because I work with people in the system of life, young, old, and in between. And I can see that the issue of illegal immigration really has hurt American workers across the board. Because if an American worker is able to do something to fix your home or whatever, they give you a quote in writing. The next thing you know, someone comes along and says, don't pay that. I have a few guys that'll come here and do it for their third of the cost. There's only one thing. Those people may be getting the discount right now, but in the end, they're hurting America, America's economy, American workers, and their future, their own future, everybody's future is based upon everybody being able to support themselves. Larkin, you worked hard to support yourself. Rich, you work hard to support yourself. Henry works hard. Everybody works hard to support themselves. It's not justifiable for any person to come into the country and demand the services that you and I are working hard for and paying our taxes to ask, stand there with their hands out, asking for our money, free money. It's not justifiable. So this immigration issue has to be put on the table, and it has to be resolved for the benefit of America's workers now and in the future. Otherwise, this wheel, this merry-go-round, is just going to go on and on and on until you know, somebody really has the time to do it. The thing that's going on in Washington, to me, is ridiculous. Because I feel this way, should any president of any country or any senator stand accused of anything without facing his accuser? How is it possible in America, where we think of as living in the greatest nation on earth because of our justice system? How can we allow a whistleblower or all these other people to just go by the wayside free and clear? It doesn't make sense to me. And by the way, that's the way people that I meet in my travels feel. And if this does not go their way and they don't come up with a real good solution, it's another Mueller report type gig. People are going to be more angrier than they are right now because they are watching our national elected leaders waste time and money and futures looking for witch hunts and foolishness. If Miss Nancy wants this type of trial to continue, let her and her ilk in elected office in Washington pay the expenses, and if the president or whoever is found guilty, they get refunded. If there's not guilty, no refund. That's my solution to it, because this is stupid to me. If they had, first of all, facts and figures on the table, I mean justifiable facts and figures. You never walk into a courtroom without all your facts and figures hoping to convince a jury that, you know, the person is guilty. This here is a witch hunt. It's hoping that in the process of all these people speaking, we may find a golden line that'll help us to make this thing come true. That's how I feel.
Well, you know, I hate to bring something back, but she lost to Donald Trump in a fair election. She lost. I hate to keep on bringing it back, but I'm itching for an answer. What type of personality loses an election when the day before all the political pundits were giving what had her percentage of win in the 90s percentile? How many people are there out there with such flawed personalities that they could show their face in public again, without exception, but still consider running? Consider running for president?
Larkin,
what kind of flawed personality is that?
You know, I agree with you, Larkin, but and I know it comes off as facetious and joking, but I wish it actually weren't a joke. There's only two reasons a serial killer ever stops killing. I mean, like, I don't mean to make light of serial killing, but like Ted Bundy showed his face all the time out and about until he was caught. Like, he went out and did it. Like that's what I'm saying. I have to give the lady credit for this. If we had an incomplete understanding of sociopathy before 2016, we know it better than ever today. Bottom line.
You know, you're right. And but
that,
here
that's
is
the
thing.
Answer, though. But here, that's the answer, Michael. They only stop for two reasons. There isn't any logical thought. They never stop. But why? But Larkin, to take this point a little bit further, I mean, why do Democrat voters give any time and devotion to former Democrat losers? I mean, my God, months ago, people went to pay to go see Walter Mondale. Do you know anyone who's paid to go see Walter Mondale, Larkin?
No.
Walter Mondale had a crowd who paid. They actually put their hand in their pocket and paid. They went to go. We have them all over the country now. Andrew Gillum, our former governor candidate here. Stacey Abrams. My God, Al Gore. Go look at Al Gore. There's 1,000 new stories about him. They love their losers. We love our losers a little bit too. Willard Romney, like him. Well, only Republicans could have somehow gotten somebody as bad as Clinton and Willard. So, Larkin, Hillary Clinton doesn't care about the Democratic Party. She doesn't care about Joe Biden. She doesn't care about Barack Obama's legacy or lack thereof. Doesn't matter.
But see,
she'll go.
But you're right. You're right. I had to tell you one more thing, which is really something I find very strange. If Hillary Clinton wanted to run, God bless her, do it. As you said a few weeks ago, Henry, Hillary, do it. If you're going to do it, do it.
I said that. Do it.
Yeah, do it. Let's do it. The thing is this. But tell us now, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or independent, tell us now what your plan is to do better for the country, to be better for the people, so that we don't have our debt going through the roof. Every second, every nanosecond of the day, the debt rises. Tell us what you have to give to us so that we start to say, this candidate is better than this candidate. I saw yesterday when I turned on my computer, I saw a notice. People are urging me to run. Did you see that, by the way, when you opened up your email yesterday?
Yes. That was one of the trial balloons that I saw.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, okay, that's very nice. I'm urging you to run too. But in the process of running, I'm urging you to give me a platform that I can say, hey, this girl is going to be better for American workers than the person who's in there now.
No.
But there's none of that. It's just people are urging you to. I could urge somebody to jump off the bridge. I could urge somebody to run 10 miles without taking a sip of water. If you do it, you're a fool. And
what happened to the old Japanese tradition? You know that if her name would have been Harihito, whatever, she would have been of Japanese extraction 40 years ago. If she would have lost to Donald Trump, she'd have had to fall on the sword. I mean, I don't understand what it is in the personality, what it is in the ego of an individual who loses that kind of a battle and has the gumption to come back and run again. Are you
and again,
me?
And again.
And Michael?
And again.
And now? I'm not here to relitigate 2016. We won, they lost. But take that person and think about that person with all the powers of the presidency. Think about that for a moment. That's how high stakes 2016 was. And for everyone out there, again, I have to appeal to Henry, our swing voter in a swing state. Anyone out there who thinks that 2020 is going to be some landslide, you've got to stop listening to the RNC talking points.
Right.
That's the RNC talking. That's what they got to say. I know they got to say that. I get it. It's marketing. I understand. But here back on planet Earth in the real world, like in my neighborhood, Mark, in your neighborhood, Michael, where you are, landslide. No. It's okay to be confident. Great teams, Michael, always expect to win, and they're confident, but they play scared. They play afraid. And Larkin, to answer your question, to try to answer it, I mean, the Democrats nominated the first ever, in my opinion, the first openly bona fide sociopath. See, in my opinion, the Democrats today are essentially who they've always been, except the difference, though, in the past is they at least had the decency to lie about it. Like, Democrats have always been coming after guns, but at least they had the decency to lie about it years ago and say they weren't. Let's see, I remember, Michael, when Barack Obama ran for president and said on the campaign trail, if you're an immigrant, you want to immigrate to America, you're welcome, but you got to get in line and you got to speak English. Who said that? The white supremacists? No, Barack Obama said that.
That's correct.
Michael, it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they've been fooled. And Joseph Goebbels is believed to have said, tell a lie enough, a big one, and eventually people will buy it. What's actually astounding about so many of I love them as Americans, but so many of our fellow Democrat voters, Michael, you don't need to tell them a lie 100 times. Just tell them once. There are people right now in America who will go to their graves, which I hope is I don't wish ill will on anybody. I hope it's a long time. They will go to their graves believing that President Trump was the second coming of Alger Hiss.
Oh no, of Hitler.
You got it. Like eventually you gotta make the move and the transition into the adult world. Like you gotta, because if you don't, the world will swallow you up. Because that's how the natural order is, and politics is a great manifestation of that. If you don't adapt and innovate and move on from your fantasies, the world will swallow you up. And life's hard. It's often hard. It's harder when you're 40 and think like when you were 4.
You're right. Oh, Rich, that is a line I love. I'll tell you one thing.
Michael, that's why 10 warning signs your child is becoming a Democrat. I know that the politicos out there are going to love it, but the subtitle of it is How to Make America Grown Up Again. The war is long and arduous, Larkin. I mean, this war we're in to make America grown up again is long and arduous. Look, a lot of people were very unhappy when Barack Obama was elected president, and there were some dipsticks out there who said stupid stuff, did stupid stuff, attacked his family, unacceptable, disgusting, I don't care who it's against. There were plenty of dipsticks, but there wasn't an actual major party. Mitch McConnell said, let's obstruct. Okay, not good, but Mitch McConnell didn't say, I'm not a fan, but he didn't really say, let's impeach. He didn't go and do that. I mean, he didn't say that. You have a major party, Michael. And you want to know what it all comes back to, Michael? I was with someone last night who worked in the campaign, and I told him this last night. I said, do you know when Trump really became the threat? When he became a bona fide threat, as soon as the Democrats, the Tessio Republicans, and the globalists, the ones Curtis talks about, as soon as they started to figure out that Trump was a sincere and genuine nationalist, that's when he became the threat. As soon as we started cleaning up on one primary after another, one Super Tuesday after another, all of a sudden, all the same people got around, huddled up in Washington, huddled up at the UN, huddled up at the Washington Post and MSNBC, CNN, New York Times, and they said, wait a minute, people are actually voting for this? We can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? That's when he became the bona fide threat. When how he is, right? This is his brand of politics. Is nationalism, pro America first,
right?
Pro sovereignty, pro Constitution, right? Et cetera, et cetera. I understand Trump's not a constitutionalist the way like a Ted Cruz is. I get all that. He's not a legal scholar. I get all of it, but the position comes with the responsibilities of serving the American people first and foremost, living in fear of the people. Trump lives in fear of his voters. That's why we're progressing. And I'm saying that complimentary, Michael. I'm not saying that to criticize. I'm saying it complimentary. Because when you're the president, you got a boss, and it's called your voters. And if you don't keep your promises to your voters, you don't get their votes anymore. Just like you don't get the business anymore if you don't keep your promises to your customers. And Larkin knows that very well, being a successful business person. So does Henry. So do you. So do I, Mark, everybody. That's why he lives in fear of his voters. Because what did I promise?
I don't agree with that. I think he lives in fear of nothing. I think if he gets impeached, he goes back to his money and he sits on his butt and he doesn't care. I don't think he fears anything.
Well, I want impeachment. But I want impeachment. I want the Democrat, because as Napoleon Bonaparte once said, never interfere with your enemy when he's making a mistake. I want impeachment is not removal. The Senate, I don't believe, Larkin, that the Senate, there are enough voters there. I mean, if there were enough Republicans who publicly would go for this, what they, and this comes back to my fear of your voters, and I don't mean this violently, so no one, oh my God, you know, call Tim at the station, he's threatening violence. I don't mean it the way it's set. We'd come for those Republicans first before we would even the Democrats, Michael, if there were actually enough Republicans. And there are a couple who will. Willard, he'll get up there, call the Washington Post, and say, I want to make sure I'm neutral. Oh, Willard, you were very neutral yesterday. You were great. Your neutrality really shines. I need to be principled. Do what's right. Okay, you don't really believe the crap coming out.
Talking about Willard, by the way, he was another flawed candidate. When he was running for president, he spoke nothing about American workers, what he's going to do for the country. By the way, no matter what anyone says, we have to continue our message. Americans want and need personal security. They don't want government. I mean, they want personal security. Personal security should be everybody's goal. And that's why I agree with your coming to grips with this idea of immigration. We got to put this thing on the table. It's been dancing around. Sooner or later, the dance has to be over. It's been dancing around for 30 years. The last time there was some immigration reform, I believe it was during the time of President Ronald Reagan. And they were, after they had that amnesty and put everybody on the books, they were supposed to begin an entire new study of how not to have this amnesty need happen again. But nothing was ever done. House and Senate members did all this idioticness, came up with all kinds of agreements to screw the American worker, the American family, America's taxpayers, all these World Trade Organizations and NAFTA and CAFTA and all this nonsense that took our jobs away, gave it to the rest of the world. And now we're trying to get them back. And nobody's talking about that. That jobs are coming back. Labels are being put on the shelves with made in the USA. More goodness is happening. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about the fact that Americans want personal security, not government security, but personal security. And that's the thing that Willard and Obama and everybody else missed out on. Willard went down, and nobody missed him the day after the election. Nobody missed him because he had no message. He was just a candidate walking around, you know, like some big deal. He was a flop, and he showed himself to be a flop. He's angry at the president right now because the president got in, he didn't, and he's pissed off, so he's trying to pull the rug from under him. It's a very, very ugly operation that some of these people go through. Mr. Schiff is a perfect example. In the very beginning, he wanted the whistleblower to testify because that was the right thing to do. Then somebody got to him and he says, no, we don't want the whistleblower to testify. Hey, if somebody gave me, and I'm not the roughest customer around, somebody gave me some story, I would want them put on the carpet. I would not rest until the whistleblower was identified. In fact, during this hearing, they should do nothing but demand that the whistleblower come forward. I want to see who he is. And by the way, anybody can say anything. In America, we're supposed to have this great system of justice. How can you have justice when you don't know who is the person doing the most accusing? I mean, Larkin, have you ever heard of it? Not in our lifetime.
No, it's a travesty of justice. I mean, nobody should be accused without being able to face his or her accuser, period, amen. I mean, that's just, to me, that's always been the rule of law, but obviously not when one is impeaching a president. I guess you get a buy on that. I'm not sure.
Well, I want to know exactly what the whistleblower had to say. And if the president did ask for favors or whatever, I want to know, too. But more than anything, I want to know who is receiving these proposals for all this foreign aid. Who is approving them? Who is getting the reports on the foreign aid once it was given, if it was used properly? I mean, all this may be having a purpose in the end, because the American taxpayer is starting to get wiser and wiser and wiser. Those people who work hard and pay their taxes, raise their family, keep their rent current, and pay their mortgage or whatever, they want to know, wait a minute, is my taxes going to something that's benefiting me or benefiting someone else? People ask me all the time, who is justifying these foreign aid grants? And why? What's the reason? Aren't we asking for favors every time we give a foreign grant? And by the way, let me tell you this too. Back in 1960, our country competed with very few foreign manufacturers. Today, on this day, we are competing with over 100 countries in the world who are sending products to America and taking very few American-made products to their countries. Why? Because they're not being made in America. We don't have them made in America right now. That's what we're trying to change. You go to some foreign countries, you can find China all over the place. You can't find America because we don't use our ability to get those shirts and clothes and shoes. We don't make them ourselves. We bring them in. This is where the problem is. In just a matter of years, we screwed ourselves to our own cross. And now we have to unscrew and get off the cross and start acting like people looking for a destiny. We are looking for a destiny. And that destiny is to get our jobs back, to get education back to where it should be, to get skilled workers in the system, that we don't have to bring people from all over the world to bring people here because we don't have skilled people in this country. There's a lot of work to be done. I give compliments to the present administration. It wouldn't matter to me if he was a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. We are talking about issues that we have not been talking about for 35 years. Do you agree with that, Larkin?
Yeah, I'm unquestionably. And that's all part of this this inbred hatred for a very unconventional man. I wish he didn't tweet, and I wish there were a lot of things that he didn't do. But the thing that has shaken Washington, D.C. up, I think, to a degree, I mean, I have friends and acquaintances who absolutely can't look at his picture without breaking into a sweat. They hate him so much. And I think, how does that happen? I mean, they truly, truly do think that as the President of the United States, as somebody who ran for office and won, that he's evil. Not bad, not a bad guy. Evil. He's evil. And I've had friends and acquaintances, again, call him the worst thing to happen to the world since Adolf Hitler. You know, come on, man. It's just absolutely absurd. I heard about this comment made on a bus, you know, the grab the women by the whatever thing, and you're overwhelmingly offended by this, and yet you go back two presidents to a guy that was having sex with a 19 or 20 year old, I don't care, year old in the White House. It's not that I'm trying to spread the blame or anything. I'm just saying you got to be consistent with your criticism. I never called for Clinton's impeachment, but what I wanted was a president that was doing the job. And guess what? At that time, Bill Clinton was doing his job. He was doing a wonderful job as a president. So I hardly even listened to. I did listen to Saturday Night Live and some of the skits about the whole affair. But come on, we have a president in there right now. I actually had somebody else turn to me with a straight look on their face 3 days ago and say, the current economy is the responsibility of Barack Obama. And you want to look at him and go, really? What is it that you've read somewhere that would even make you think something like that? The net bottom line is, but for whatever his cultural or manners flaws are, we had a man that said, I'm going to do this, 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 and this if I'm elected president, and I think you ought to elect me president. You had an American voting public that was so sick of the deep state and the same old BS day in and day out, and a do-nothing Congress, nothing but a bunch of men and women that are becoming very rich in elected offices. They got tired of it. And they liked the difference and they liked the uniqueness, and they said, you know what? I'm going to vote for him. And guess what? He's done what he said he would do.
He said one thing that the people always tell me. He said that he was going to look out for American workers. And that's what people wanted. As I said earlier, people want personal security. They don't want government to be in their life. They want to be able to govern themselves. And with the new tax regulations being reduced and all the regulations on businesses, we're seeing a lot of people who want to come back. They want to fill up those partially used or vacant business properties. They want to try to make a go of it in America. And the people who did nothing for 30 years, who are still sitting around wondering, you know, if this guy's going to make them look bad, are the people who are angry. As I said earlier, they should not pay any of them in Washington until this charade is over.
Preach, gentlemen, preach. I'm loving it.
Well, as you hear by the music, we really did a good job. Today was open forum, and it was wonderful. I enjoyed it. Rich, as always, you were the best. Larkin, as always, you were the best. And next week, we'll have everybody back again. And I don't know how long all of this is going to go on, but I want to see what the bottom line will be. I'm not interested in watching the whole thing. I want to look at a wrap-up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. Don't forget, go out and support American Made Month. Go out and support American workers. May God bless you, and may God bless America.